lift our hands, bow our knees, we worship at your throne. We need you, Lord, we need you right now. Oh, we need you, Lord, we need you, Lord, right now. Yes, we need you, Lord, we need you, Lord, right now. Oh, we lift our hands and we bow our knees, we worship at your throne. We need you, Lord, we need you right now. Let's sing it again. Oh, we need you, Lord. Yes, we need you, Lord, right now. Oh, we need you, Lord. Yes, we need you, Lord, right now. And we lift our hands, bow our knees, we worship at your throne. We need you, Lord, we need you right now. Oh, we need you, Lord, we need you right now. Yes, we do. Oh, we need you, Lord, we need you right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to come to sit at your feet to hear your word. We trust, oh God, that you would minister to each and every one of our hearts tonight through the revelation of the word. May you draw us closer to you. We ask, Father, that you would bless those that have arrived, those that are still on the way, give traveling mercies to those that would join us online. We pray that you would speak to them right where they are. And those that are unable to be with us tonight, we pray that you'd look upon as well. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9. Just reading just a few verses here. We won't read the whole chapter for the sake of time. Verse 1 says, "And verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant." So this is the particular verse that we will kind of dwell with tonight. Oftentimes when we talk about this section of the most holy place, or the holiest of all, the holiest of holies, we always think about just the tables of the covenant or the Ten Commandments being there. But as we can see in this scripture, Paul points to our attention that there were other items. There was a golden pot that had manna, and also Aaron's rod that budded was also in this place. Amen. Aaron's rod that budded. So we'll talk a little bit more about that tonight. Verse 5 says, "And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat of which we cannot speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. It says the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Amen. So we're going to stop there just in our reading, because we actually won't be able to get into all those verses tonight. Kind of go back to some of our key statements here, and we will pick up from there. But these, just to kind of keep on, keep before us. The prophet makes this statement, and this will be found in some of our, if some of the reading we've already done and some of the quotes, we might have read some of these things, but some of the others we'll find them in future, amen, readings of the quote. It says, but now God don't have any grandchildren. Every man, every woman, every boy, girl's got to have an experience of entering into the holiest of holies and being born again. Now, that's a very, that's a strong statement, I would say, because we actually haven't really received a new birth until we've entered into the most holy place, right? We could actually be going to church. We can be going through a lot of motions. We can be doing a lot of those things. But I'm talking about a real new birth. That's when we have entered into the most holy place, right? The holies of holies. And this is where we're trying to bring people to. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's see. Next he says, and you are a stick of some kind, and you was taken off the branch of humanity, which was God's created son in the beginning. You may be fallen, dead, alienated from God, but by that in creation you were created to be a son of God. You may bounce around and be respected and honored out here in the courts, but if you ever get into that glorious place and hit away with God, you will yield what you're supposed to do. Amen. You'll yield what you're supposed to do. And this is when you come to a place of complete surrender in that most holy place with God. Then you'll finally see yourself bringing forth the fruit in your life that God ordained you to bring forth. Amen. Another thing he says here, it says, but said, days I have my ups and downs, my wearies, my toss, my troubles. I wish I could live a victorious life. And the prophet says, well, you've got to get out of the court. You've got to come in. Right. So oftentimes you see people, Christians, and some, you know, seem like they always victorious, always. That's because those are people that have entered all the way in, you know, and they're not talking about giving up and quitting and things like that. They realize trials are just normal, everyday things that happen to Christians. Right. But we don't give up when we go through a trial. We don't quit after trial. No, we keep pressing on. Right. That's what we do as Christians. You know, we're rugged. Amen. So we keep pressing on. But oftentimes what happens, some people really struggle living a Christian life, and it's because they haven't come all the way into the holies of holies. Amen. They haven't come all the way in. So we want to again, encourage the believers to go all the way with God. All right, here it is. It says somebody wants their name in some big something, but God's people wants to shun that kind of stuff. They don't want great big things and great big something. They want to be humble, that humility. The way up is down. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. He that exalts himself shall be abased. Humble himself. Don't try to be a big something. Try to be a little something. But be what you are. See, be little in the sight of God. Be little in your own sight. Everybody else is above you. Let him that's greatest among you be minister to all. Let him that is greatest among you be minister to all. I remember a statement that a pastor told me years ago, right when I got when we started the church, and he said, "Sir Brother Jack, I know you're the pastor of the church, but that makes you the greatest servant of everybody." He said, "You know, God called you to serve everybody." I said, "Well, praise the Lord, thank you," and that's wonderful advice. You know, just realize that that's the greatest thing you can do is serve God's people. Amen. Some other things that he said here. Now, if God, before the world, ordained that we should be holy and without blame and perfect in the sight of God, and we struggling and murmuring, and don't you think God, seeing all these things, and he foreknew it and predestined, ordained us to be so, elected us before the world was ever formed. Now, here's how he did it. So he's talking about how we've been called to perfection. And we're gonna get into that probably not tonight, but in the weeks to come. But the blood of Jesus Christ is what brings us to this place of perfection. Only through the blood we can reach that. Thank God for His blood. It says the Holy Spirit woos the believer through the blood, cleansing of the soul into the fellowship, into the spirit life inside with Christ. Shut out the world. Amen. That need to be underlined. Shut out the world. And very nature of God is in you, still subject to mistakes, but God can't see it because it's covered by the blood. God can't see through the blood. Amen. We're so grateful for that. And when we understand what the blood has done for us, church, what we should never do is bring disgrace to the grace that God has given us. Amen. Never bring disgrace to the grace that God has given you. Here's another one. It says you'll never live to see the day that picture comes into its value, because the testator is always dead before the testament is seen. And it said it'll be in the days after you're gone. He said, but right now, do you realize what that is? And I said, sir, it belongs to the American Photographers Association. I said, if Jesus Christ, my Lord, thought enough of me to come down in a battle like I was and have his picture taken with me for the first time in all the world's history, I love him too well to commercialize it. And said, I will have nothing to do with it. You know, that we had read on the previous slide where Brother Branham was saying, somebody wants their name in some big something, but God's people want to shun that kind of stuff. Now, he made that statement, and then over here we see where he actually fulfilled that statement. This was talking about the photograph that was taken over his head in Houston Coliseum, and they caught the pillar fire over his head, and these men knew that this was worth a lot of money. But Brother Adam said, I don't want anything to do with it. It says, you all can have it. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the guy that photographed it. But it just showed how he shunned those things. And even in shunning that, from my understanding, Brother Branham died a very wealthy man, right? And not that he used that for himself, but a lot of it was for ministry purposes. But nonetheless, God blessed him because he had the ability to be able to control the money. He didn't let money control him. He controlled the money. And as believers, we got to be the same way. All right. Okay. Let's go a little further here. We talked about this a few weeks ago, and just a quick recap, because we'll go deeper into this tonight. This would be what we would call the outer court. Actually, kind of out here. This is the entrance. Into where you would take your sacrifice. You know, you would be a worshiper. You bring your sacrifice here, give it to the priest, and they would wash it, and they'd do various things here in this area. And then the priests also had access to the holy place. And in this holy place, we had a table, showbread, an altar of incense. And we also had this golden lampstand, seven golden candlesticks. That was in this holy place. Now, here in this area, we call this justification, right? So this is what happens when people just kind of first come to church, maybe even get baptized. They stop, you know, pretty much here in this area. Now, here when we get to this holy place, this is more sanctification. Our lives clean up a little bit. We're not living the same old life that we used to live. We're not doing the things that we used to do. And that's great. You know, I think that's real good. But that's not where God dwelt. He was here in this most holy place. And this is the place that God wants to take us to. Now, here, this was a entrance here. And the only person that could even go into this place was the high priest. Once a year on the Day of Atonement, he would go into this place carrying his sins and the sins of the people before the presence of the Lord that dwelt here in this place. So this would be, you know, the most holy place would be where the baptism of the Holy Ghost is. Now, I was reading a quote that Brother Branham was even saying. It says, you know, he thinks many of us have just enough Holy Ghost to stop us from lying, right, or to stop us from cheating. Stop us from stealing. We got just enough Holy Ghost to get by, if I can put it that way. But God don't want you to just have enough Holy Ghost to get by. God wants to fill every fiber of your being. Amen. And this is where we're talking about. This is where, as believers, this is where you want to live, right here. Amen. In this area, this most holy place with God. All right. Now, let me go on a little further here. As we talked about that, we brought in on last week this area here, the holy place, and these are the things that are in there. Again, this altar of incense, the seven golden candlesticks, the table showbread. And I talked about how this area is actually would be considered sanctification. I brought out to you last week how when David was on the run from Saul, as he was on the run from Saul, he went to the priest, and the priest said, you know, only thing I have here is showbread. You know, this is only for the priests. And we also found out last week it's for the overcomer as well, according to the book of Revelation. But only the priest could actually eat of the showbread. So the priest was a little apprehensive about giving David, you know, the showbread. However, he eventually gave it to him, but it was under conditions. It wasn't just with David. It was with David and some of the young men that was following him. And the question that was asked to David is like, have the young men kept themselves from women, right? Have they kept themselves from women? And he said, yeah, for the last 3 days, they haven't done nothing. See, it took a sanctified life before you could partake of that bread, right? It took a sanctified life. So when the priest was asking them that, it showed sanctification was absolutely necessary, or they would never see that bread, never see that bread, right? So I brought out last week how if the priest could ask that question to David's men, it shows today that we have to live sanctified lives. And a sanctified life will produce, praise the Lord, amen, no fornication. A sanctified life will produce adultery. And if you don't know what fornication is, I'll explain that to you. That's having sexual relations without being married. When you've entered into this place with God, right, this holy place with God, that stuff goes out. Amen. Now, the world says it's okay, but God says it's not okay. All right. And a sanctified life will produce, amen, people that's following the word of God. Amen. Sanctified life, you won't be drinking. Sanctified life, you won't be smoking. Right? Sanctified life, you won't be doing any of these things. Sanctified life, you dress right. That's what a sanctified life does to you, right? So here again, we don't want to just get baptized and stop here. It's time to go right on into sanctification and then from there into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Absolutely necessary if you want to make a rapture. Praise the Lord. Now, there's some things you can get away with if you simply just want to go to church. But there's some things you're not going to get away with if you want to go to the rapture. Can I tell y'all just something? That You know, Brother Branham, I believe is, I think he had a dream. I think it was him. Yeah, it was. I believe it was him that had a dream. There was this sister that was in a dream. He said he saw with some very, very high heels on, extremely high. And he said, "Sister, you're not going to be able to make it with them on. You're not going to be able to make it." And she said, "You know, who are you? I'm not, you can't tell me." So she said, I'm going to go anyway. So she walked up, you know, one step, walked up the second step. Say, when she got to the third step, she fell off, right? And Brother Branham said, "I told you that you weren't going to be able to make it like that," right? So a lot of times we do things and we get away because we just happen to be church members. But we're not trying to just produce church members. We're trying to get people ready for a rapture. Praise the Lord, church. And it's going to take more than what we've been given. I might as well just be honest with you. Amen. When I read that quote, the world got, we're going to have to shut off to the things of the world. At some point in time, we're going to have to shut off to the things of the world. Amen. It can't mean nothing to us. It just can't. Bottom line, church, it can't. The Bible, see, some things are not sin, but they are weights. And the Bible say, lay aside everything. That don't mean ask God to deliver you from it. That means you put it down yourself. Hell, my God. Amen. If he can go to a cross for you, you mean some of these little things in the world you can't give up for him? No, no, no. Lay aside every sin and every weight that so easily besets you. That's what the scripture tells us. Let me go on a little further here because this is, I'll get stopped here. Mine, but see, that again, so a sanctified life will produce certain things. You could not partake of this. Those David's men that were with him could not have this unless they had a sanctified life. So we want to go further than that. Sometimes we're like, man, ain't that enough? No, no, it's going to be a little bit more. All right, let's keep going. Okay. So, again, coming in this outer court here in this area, bringing a sacrifice to the priest. This is what they would do in the Old Testament. Problem is, when they brought the sacrifice to the priest here, he would take the sacrifice, slay it, wash it, slay it, you know, offer it to God. But this man over here that gave the sacrifice still had the same nature in him to do what was wrong, right? So this is why, I mean, this was just a type. But once we got to, once this man comes through justification, through sanctification, over here to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that old nature is just dead. No longer does he even think about that. He's hid away with God in this place. This is where we're trying to get everybody to, in this most holy place. And remember, this was the priest and God alone. So if it was the priest and God alone, it's going to be you and God alone. Amen. This is not a group thing. This is an individual thing. Praise the Lord. All right. So we go a little further here. Now we're talking about this most holy place, the Ark of the Covenant, and what's inside this most holy place. Now you can see here the Ark of the Covenant, you know, the cherubim, you know, up here. And then inside there would be the two scrolls that Moses had, with God wrote with the finger of his own finger, and he put the Ten Commandments on that. So he has this inside the Ark. Also, this rod here, amen, Aaron's rod. You can see the bud on the rod, Aaron's rod that budded in this most holy place. And also this golden pot of manna, golden pot of manna. Now, notice these are things that would be inside the Ark of the Covenant. And I just love that. These are things that would be inside the Ark of the Covenant, this golden pot of manna, and also these Ten Commandments. And when I thought about that, you know, I thought about the scripture where David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." This is something that was on the inside, right? So the word of God has also got to be on the inside. And this manna was something that only the priest could partake of, or the overcomer would be able to partake of. If you were called to the high priest, then the high priest would go in and get some of this manna. And this lasted from generation to generation to generation. Amen. And so this revelation that we have has been going from generation to generation to generation, and we still have access to it today. Here, These are the things that were inside this most holy place. Now, we want to read some scriptures and everything to kind of come along side to kind of support that. But let me just read this quote here, and then we'll go forward. It says here, we all know that the manna was angel food. So when we talk about that golden pot of manna, the manna was angel food. It was what God sent down upon the grass for Israel at the time of their wanderings. It was perfect food. It was amazing how those little pellets of food kept them in perfect health. No one got sick. It was all they needed. When the ark was made, they put some of that manna into it. Then the ark was put behind the veil, and only the high priest would dare approach unto it. And then he had to have the sacrificial blood. The bread from heaven, symbolized by manna, one day came down from heaven and became life for all who believe on him. Now, we're going to read a little bit more on that quote in a little bit. But if I could leave this the picture here on the screen, I'm going to read a couple quotes to you. And you can just kind of follow along just based on the sections here. Amen. You're looking at here. This is the most holy place. This is this section here. That's what you're seeing here on the screen. Follow me here. I'm just going to read a couple quotes to you as you're looking at that on the screen. This is out of the Message. Why are people so tossed about? The prophet says, what a beautiful picture of the believer in the presence of God. All things are his then. All things was given to Christ. All that God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ was poured into the church. That day you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, and I in you. Oh, the privilege that the believer has if they only could accept it. You say, Brother Branham, you've got a picture here under consideration, but how do you get to it? What's the next thing? How do we get into there, Brother Branham? Here's the way they come in, the pattern. Oh, I'm a Christian, brother. I'm a Christian, Brother Branham. I've been saved. I've been baptized. I enjoy the blessings of God. You're in the outer courts. So he says now, I'm a Christian. I've been saved. I've been baptized. I enjoy the blessings of God. He says you're in the outer courts. A Christian, been saved, been baptized, enjoying the blessings of God. You're still here. Okay. Now he goes on a little bit further. He says, but said, days I have my ups and downs, my wearies, my toss, my troubles. I wish I could live a victorious life. Well, you got to get out of the court. You've got to come in. All right. Get out of here. Come in. Okay. So he goes on a little further. He says, now, what was the first thing? The courts represented justification. Outside, there is where the people come in. All of Israel, no other but a circumcised Israelite could come into these courts. So only the Israelites could actually go here. Only the Israelites could dwell here. All right. So it says no other but a circumcised Israelite could come into those courts. They defile it. You remember when Paul brought Timothy to the temple and said they have polluted this holy place by bringing a Gentile in the courts. They must be absolutely justified people, regenerated men and women who's accepted God and got eternal life dwelling in them. They must be that to be in the court. Then they come to the first altar, and the first altar is where they burnt the sacrifice and where the Lord met them there in forgiveness of sin and cleansed them from all their unrighteousness. And the burning altar, the brazen altar, burnt the beast and the blood from the beast. That was the second court. Okay. Now he goes on here. He says, now after they left that second court, sanctification, they entered into this consecrated life, entered into the presence of God. And while they were in there, there is where they had all these glorious things. What a very beautiful type that in there. Anything dead come in, lived again. Did you ever think of that? They took Aaron's rod and laid Aaron's rod in the presence of this holy place. And when they did, in one night's time, it budded, blossomed, and yielded almonds in one night's time. Think of it. In the presence of God, this old dead rod lying there in the presence of God budded, blossomed, and yielded almonds in one night. What was it then? What kind of a rod was it? It was an almond tree rod. That's what he taken it from. The stick was off of an almond tree, and you are a stick of some kind, and you was taken off the branch of humanity, which was God's created son in the beginning. You may be fallen, dead, alienated from God, but by that in creation, you were created to be a son of God. You may bounce around and be respected and honored out here in the courts. But if you ever get into that glorious place that hid away with God, then you'll yield what you're supposed to do. They say we may be respected out here, But we really haven't come into where God really wants us to be until we enter all the way over here. This is where we begin to yield fruit in our life, right here in this spot right here. This is just kind of going through the motions, but we want to see people yield. We want to see people come to the place that God ordained for them to come to. And you're not going to get there until you get here in that most holy place, baptized with the Holy Ghost, not just enough to stop you from lying, but where it's taking over every fiber of your being. Praise the Lord. That's what we want, church. That's what we're striving for. Amen. I'm so glad to have I always say this question, it'll be good to have a church full, but I make that statement, it's so good to have a church full, but the question is full of what? It's good to have a church full, but full of what? Amen. If we got a church full of people that's manifesting this, we're going to be all right. Praise the Lord. All right, let me go on. I want to, if you can pull up this on, go to our quotes here on slide 7, please. And I'm starting with the quote, Pergamum and Church Age. It's like the second quote in there. I'm just reading the scripture for you before I read that, because he's going to refer to the scripture. Revelation 2:17 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." Actually, let me just, before I go to that quote, let me turn with me to Exodus 16. Let's pick up a couple scriptures here. As we just going back and pulling out how these things actually got into the most holy place. All right. Exodus 16. This is a very lengthy read, but I think it'll be helpful for us. Exodus 16. All right. I'm going to start here at verse 12, actually, in Exodus 16. It says this, "I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, speaking to them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God." Now, what was happening? God has delivered the children of Israel. They're out going through the wilderness, and they get to a point where they're just complaining about not having something to eat, and, you know, just complaint after complaint after complaint. And God says he's heard it, you know, and he's going to do something about it. Here in verse 13 says, "And it come to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." Now, you know, this is just beautiful to me. Sometimes we have needs. We have things that we're, you know, expecting God to do. And here God was taking care of 2 million people in the wilderness. And my question is, if God could take care of 2 million people, feed them every day, don't you think he can provide for you? And sometimes it's good for us to go back and just look at, see what our God has already done. He won't let you down. Verse 16 says, "This is a thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, and omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, "Let no man leave of it till the morning." Verse 20, "Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto Moses." He was giving them instructions, but they hearken not unto Moses. "But some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is a rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye have, which you will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, that means boil it, and that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. Says this, and they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. Now, let me just ask yourself this question. Would you have been a part of that group to go out on the Sabbath day to go looking? Or would you have been the one just staying home and just doing exactly what Moses said do? Praise the Lord. Because spears don't die, right? Okay, verse 28. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Now look at this. It says, and Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generation. So generation after generation would see this manna inside that pot, inside, you know, the most holy place. So they knew that the same God that kept them, that brought their fathers over, was the same God that was keeping them and doing the same great things for them in their generation. We talked about this on last week, that hidden manna was a special revelation that God gave to the prophet. Prophet preached it. Now the fivefold ministry picks it up and it preaches it back to the people, right? But we're still partaking of God's hidden manna. Amen. Still partaking of it. Verse 34 says, as the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came into the borders of the land of Cana. All right, I want to go on. So we see how the manna got in there. The children of Israel were complaining, but God provided for them, and this manna that they was eating, God told Moses, just take some of it, put it inside this pot, put it inside the most holy place, and keep it throughout the generations. Also, we want to pick up here over number 17. This is how the rod got in there. Number 17. And just the first few verses here, number 17. This was Israel, my Lord. Some of the background here is that they had a few men that were in number 16. They came against Moses. They felt that he was too holy. They wanted to take on more responsibility. And it just ended up being a big problem. It ended up being a big issue. And Moses had to actually make a statement that says, look, God going to do something that he never done before. If I'm right, then God going to vindicate me. If they're wrong, then God gonna swallow them up. He gonna open up the earth and swallow these men up. They're not gonna die a regular death. They're gonna die something, you know, terrible. And after, as soon as Moses shut his mouth, the earth opened up, swallowed the men, and buried them alive. Right? But these are men that came against God's prophet for that day. Amen. Be careful when you do that. Be careful. All right, here in number 17, the story goes on a little further. It says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes, according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods, Write thou every man's name upon his rod, and thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi. For one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers, and thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom, and I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece, for each prince, one according to their father's houses, even 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded. See, and they wrote their names on it before they put it inside, so they knew exactly that God had vindicated Aaron, right? So here, behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded and brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. So now we see how Aaron's rod got put in there into that most holy place. It was after God vindicated Aaron. Oh, my God. I'm a witness, and I believe this, that God still vindicates his prophets. Amen. God still not just his prophets, vindicate his people as well. Amen. Sometimes what you need to do is just let God do it. Amen. You ain't got to vindicate yourself. Let God do it. Hallelujah. And he does it perfect. Amen. All right. So let's go back over here. I want to read a quote here, and then I want to bring in one other scripture with this, because we see the children of Israel eat that bread, that manna that God provided. But Jesus makes another comment about that bread over in the New Testament. We want to pick that up here in a second. Here at a Pergamian church age, it says, now with this thought in mind, look at the verse again. I would give him the hidden manna. We all know that the manna was angel food. It was what God sent down upon the grass for Israel at the time of their wanderings. It was perfect food. It was amazing how those little pellets of food kept them in perfect health. No one got sick. It was all they needed. When the ark was made, they put some of that manna into it. Then the ark was put behind the veil, and only the high priest would dare approach into it. And then he had to have the sacrificial blood, the bread from heaven, symbolized by manna, one day came down from heaven and became life for all who believe on him. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If any man shall eat of this bread, he shall live forever. When he went away, he left of his word. When he went away, he left us his word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. All right. Goes on, says his word was bread. It was the perfect manna, which if a man live by it, he shall never die. But right after the death of the fathers, no one seemed to know the exact truth. And in a short while, this manna seemed to have become hidden to the people. But in every age, God began to give back by revelation that which was hidden until this last day. According to Revelation 10:7, a prophet will come and reveal all the mysteries, and then the Lord will come. Now, in each age, I say the messengers receive hidden truth, but they did not receive it for themselves only. But it is as it was when the disciples were asked to serve the multitudes loaves and fishes. Jesus gave them the broken food, but they in turn gave it to the people. God gives his hidden manna to the overcomer. It cannot be otherwise. He would not open his treasures to those who spurn what is already revealed. And let's go on. He says this, what I have been saying about the messenger of each age receiving from God some of the original truth of Pentecost is typed out in the Old Testament, where Moses was commanded to take up 3 1/2 pints of manna and place it in a golden vessel behind the veil of the Holy of Holies. There the high priest of every generation could enter with sacrificial blood. Then he could take a small portion of this manna, for it did not corrupt, which was part of the original and eat it. Now, in every age, the messenger of the Lord to that age was given the revelation of God for that specific period. Once the messenger was enlightened by truth, he would bring that truth to the people, and they whose ears had been opened by the Spirit would hear the truth, believe it, and live it. Thank God we have our ears opened by the Spirit. He goes on a little bit further. He says, now then, there's also the thought of the future partaking of the hidden manna. I think it would be the eternal partaking of the revelation of Jesus Christ in the eternal ages to come. And I like that. He says, there's a future partaking of the hidden manna. I think it would be the eternal partaking of the revelation of Jesus Christ in the eternal ages to come. How else could we begin to know the unsearchable riches of his own being? All that we have longed to know, all of our unanswered questions, all that will be revealed. It will be from Christ, who is our life, that we receive it. Oh, sometimes we think we get to know a little of him and his word down here, and it is so good, and it makes us rejoice. But one day when our flesh changes, that word and he will become what we had never dreamed possible. And I like the way the prophet put that. You know, when we're sitting around just kind of on the other side and just fellowshipping around the word of God, church, there be the revelation will continue to unfold to you, right? The mysteries of God just continue to unfold. You actually think we might have a little something now, but we're just getting bits and pieces of it. Amen. But when it just completely unfolds, how beautiful the picture is going to be when we're sitting on the other side fellowshipping around, amen, God's eternal word. I wanted to pick up this scripture here as well. This is out of John 6, because Jesus makes a statement about this manna. Glory to God. John 6 gives us, amen, gives us some insight to that. And I'll start at verse 24, John 6. Says, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, whence camest thou thither? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Now look at this. Look at this. This is a very powerful statement that the Lord Jesus makes. These people want to work the works of God. They want to do something for the Lord. Look at this. Verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. You want to work the works of God. You want to do something for the Lord? Well, just believe on him that he sent. What a powerful statement that came from the lips of our Lord. Just believe on him whom he hath sent. Amen. They said, therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? So they're looking for some signs, Says, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. That wasn't Moses doing that. That was the Lord that did that, right? Amen. My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Amen. We're partaking of Christ now. Verse 36 says, But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Thank the Lord. Amen. Jesus is that bread, right? And here he's just trying to get them to see that, you know, if you partake of me, this you'll never thirst again. And this is why we're talking about when we're going into this most holy place, that's where God dwells. That was where the presence of the Lord was. You want to go all the way in there. You want to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus. It's got to be an individual relationship just between you and God alone. Every person comes there. And look, when can we go back to our slide here? When they in the Old Testament, in that most holy place, only the priest, the high priest, could go in once a year into that most holy place. Only if anybody else got caught going in there, it was death. And if the high priest went in there and he wasn't prepared, he would die, right? But when they you know, this was a place that only the high priest once a year come in. But when Jesus died, this curtain that was separating people from going in here, this curtain or this veil, what we call it, was rent from top to bottom. And now it gives access where only one person can go in once a year. Now everybody has access to this place in God. Everybody has access to that place. And this is where he wants to fellowship with us at. That's exactly where he wants to fellowship with us at. Church, don't fall short of it. Don't hang out here. Don't be satisfied just to be baptized. Look, sometimes I'll be honest. People do things and they do it just to please the pastor. I ain't got no heaven or no hell to put nobody in. Don't stop. Don't do that. Don't do that just to please the pastor, right? I mean, go all the way with Christ. Get here. And when you get here, this is not you and your you and your mama, you and your daddy, you and your spouse, you and your child. This is you and God alone. That's where he wants to dwell with you. Amen. Everybody else, I'm sorry. If they're coming in between you and your relationship with God, that's not good. That's not good. Church, this is where he wants us to dwell. Let me finish with this last quote here. This is coming out of the message, Adoption. I'm still on slide 7. It says, what's the word eternal mean? In Christ, after I have believed, no man can call Jesus Christ only by the Holy Ghost. You can't even call Jesus Christ. You can only do it when you have the Holy Ghost, right? He says, only by the Holy Ghost. Then there's three classes of people: unbelievers, make believers, and believers. But them ones who have believed unto eternal life has entered into the courts. Take the old tabernacle. What was the first thing they did? Entered into the courts, the Gentile. The next was the brazen altar where they was washed, the sacrifice at the golden laver. The next was the killing of the sacrifice and the sprinkling of the blood upon the altar. Then once a year, Aaron anointed, with what? With the rose of Sharon perfume, with precious oil that had perfume in it. They poured it on his head. It went plumb down to the hems of his skirt. Watch how this man had to go in behind them curtains once a year, packing before him the blood for the mercy seat. And he took his rod in once a year and forgot it. When they went back after it had done budded out and blossomed, an old stick that he packed maybe for 40 years in the wilderness, laid it in that holy place. Watch when them took out a blood of the covenant, the blood he was anointed, and he had garments on that hid little jingle bells in them, a pomegranate and a bell. And that man had to walk in such a way that every time when he moved his leg, and it moved like this, and maybe his step, they played holy, holy unto the Lord. I like that. Every time the man moved his leg, it was playing holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. He says, holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Oh, my. He says, what am I talking about? Hear it, Branham Tabernacle. And if I can borrow, if I can just inject, hear it, Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. You've had your chance. When a man once is anointed with the Holy Ghost to be adopted into the family of God, to be positioned, placed by the Father, and sent into a service out here, into his purpose of life, or what God has called him for,
His walk must be holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. See, this is what we're talking about, going into that place. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, it brings us into this sanctified, this clean life. And the life that we walk from that point on is a life that cries, holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. It don't compromise with a lot of other stuff, but it walks holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Amen. Look at it. He says, oh, you must turn aside to this and be holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Oh, you must believe all that the elders said this, but holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Let his word be first. Let it be everything that there is, and settled in your heart, your walk must be in the word. Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Oh, if you'll just come over here, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll organize, put you in an organization. You'll be a great man. Mm-mm. Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Moving on. Don't make any difference what anybody says. With call these tapes, do this, do this, do that, do that. The other, holy, holy unto the Lord. See, this is a person that's sold out to God. You've got your eyes set toward Calvary. And there's nothing going to stop you. The very walk of your life, you're walking down the King's Highway, anointed with the precious anointing, oil, moving into the holies of holies. Amen. All right. Church, this is what God wants. This is what God wants. And I tell you, I don't think it could be brought any simpler. And I'm so glad that when we look at this in scripture from Hebrews chapter 9, we get a better glimpse as to what, you know, where God is calling us to. Church, I'm telling you, it's got to be a dedicated, sold out life to Christ. And I have a feeling God got a way of getting us all there. It might be in his time, but we're going there. I don't know about you, but that's the life that I want to live. Amen. My life, I want it to be holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Don't matter what other people say. Don't matter what other people think. The other people have no heaven and no hell to put us in. We just want to live lives that are pleasing to God. Amen. We used to sing a song, Lord, whatever it take for my will to break. That's what I'm asking of you, right? This is the way I want to live. This is the place that I want to be, a man in Christ. This is what it's all about, church. This is what it's all about. Amen. Don't be satisfied just being a church member. Don't do that. Go all the way with God. All the way. We'll stop there for the night, and we will pick up, a little bit more next week. But this is us. I'm just grateful for this little journey here through Hebrews 9. I think these are some very, very key things, amen, that we need. As we look at them, let's pray, amen, and we'll end there for tonight, all right? Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you, God. We can see clearly what it is that you are calling us to. Lord, the life that we live before you, it's got to be spotless. It's got to be holy. It's got to be righteous. It's got to be in line and in tune with scripture and with what your perfect will is. We could have agendas. We could have all kind of things. But Lord, we want to push all that to the side, and we want you to be pleased. We want you to be glorified. We want you to be exalted. We want you to be magnified in us. I believe the songwriter said, in my life, Lord, be glorified. Lord, in my heart, Lord, be glorified. That's what we're asking for. That's what it requires. Lord, don't let us fall short. Don't let us fall short. As we see these things, if we realize that we're not there, then God, we want to persevere until we get into that place, God, that you want us to be. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We'll have tonight's tithes and an offering, and just a couple of announcements. Amen.